is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me, gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
Six after on this Thursday. Glad to have you along for the conversation. Let me read you the first sentence of a CNN report on the attack, the terrorist attack in Flint, Michigan yesterday. Tell you how silly this is. A Canadian man yelled Allahu Akbar before he allegedly stabbed a police officer in Flint, Michigan at an airport in what the FBI is investigating as a terrorist attack. Allegedly stabbed? Yeah, and apparently Officer Neville allegedly bled all over the floor, and Officer Neville allegedly went to the hospital to get fixed up for his alleged stab wounds. Come on! Amor Fatui, whether he's 49 or 50, some confusion there, but it doesn't really matter, has been charged with violence at an international airport. According to Daniel Lemish, he is the acting U.S. attorney for the region. Fatui has already appeared in court. That happened late yesterday. He'll remain in custody pending his detention hearing. Now, he is from Canada. He came here from Quebec, facing 20 years in prison or more. Yelling Allahu Akbar and saying something to the effect that you have killed people in Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and we are all going to die. Then, after being arrested, because there are other police officers around, he asked, "Why didn't you kill me?" Witnesses that saw him being let out of the Bishop Airport yesterday said he had just this blank look on his face, just like, nobody's home. Well, that's what brainwashing looks like. Chief Chris Miller of the Bishop Airport Safety Division, who was nearby during the attack and was able to handcuff the suspect, said Lieutenant Neville got him to stop stabbing him. A lot of contradictory reports here. An FBI special agent said Fatui then asked the officer why he didn't kill him. Neville's in stable condition, has worked at the airport for years, rose to the rank of lieutenant in 2006. According to Airport Director Craig Williams, a maintenance worker also suffered injuries while helping to subdue the suspect. The airport was evacuated. We're told it's all back back to the way it should be today. People are probably on pins and needles, but back to the way it should be. Like I said, he came here from Canada, did Fatui, a Canadian citizen, entered the United States legally at Lake Champlain, New York, on 16 June, a U.S. official told CNN that based on preliminary information, it appears Fatui had traveled between the United States and Canada multiple times. A spokesman for the Canadian embassy in Washington said its government and law enforcement agencies are engaged in cooperating fully. In fact, they went and searched his apartment in Montreal, according to the CBC. It appears to have been a lone wolf attack. Where it came from, well, we know what the roots are, but why he chose Flint, why he came from Quebec to Flint, that's not particularly clear. How he ended up there, not particularly clear. Coming up later on the program, Ryan Morrow will be here, a Stillman Fellow with the Clarion Project. He'll be here to talk about the concerns we should have, with the northern border. 721 miles Michigan shares with Canada. 721 miles, much of which is water, some of which is land. The largest undefended border in the world is that divides Canada and the United States, if you didn't know. Now you do. The largest and longest undefended border in the world. We don't concern ourselves too much with the Canadians, but if they're going to export terrorists to us, if this becomes the new normal, things might change. We're not going to be building a wall on the northern border, though I can assure you we don't have that much concrete or time. We certainly hope this is not the new normal. as you look at this. We certainly hope this is not the new normal for attacks, but yet we know that there are those working in Michigan and living in Michigan that promote this sort of violence. Sheikh Jibril of Dearborn, one of the leading provocateurs of violence, recruiter for ISIS, outspoken critic of democracy, a man who says democracy is illegitimate and the only legitimate leadership comes from the Quran, living and preaching in Dearborn, Michigan. And you wonder if there's some sort of a connection here between these sermons, if you will, and with what happened yesterday in Flint. We'll, of course, keep you up to date on everything that happens with this case as it moves forward. The Republican sweep of four contested House special elections this year has handed President Trump and his party a boost, to say the least, and the ability to move forward on a health care bill, perhaps, and perhaps more of their stalled legislative agenda. Republicans in Washington, very pleased that Karen Handel easily defeated Democrat John Ossoff in a Georgia runoff election, in which the Democrats amassed tens of millions of dollars and spent it and were very proud and thought they were going to win and then lost by a much wider margin than anybody anticipated, 5 points. Republican Ralph Norman said defeated Democrat Archie Parnell by an even narrower margin in South Carolina, 3 points. It receives little national attention, but Democrats claim that these are moral victories. They don't need moral victories in Democrat land. They need actual victories with all the land, with all the money and capital they're blowing through. But it certainly boosts Republican morale. And here's the thing. In those suburbs of Atlanta, in Georgia's 6th Congressional District, those are people with an income average over $75,000. Those are educated people. Donald Trump's brand, if you listen to the pundits, focuses and attracts more people from lower income brackets, white lower income brackets, white working people. But the fact of the matter is Donald Trump attracts all sorts of working people, whether they're working down here or up here. And that was proven again on Tuesday in Georgia, that the president's appeal goes far beyond the working class people that the media would have you believe is where his support lies. The fact that well-educated, high-earning voters went to the polls and turned out a win for Karen Handel in far greater numbers than anyone anticipated shows that the president's appeal and his brand reaches farther than the mainstream media is willing to admit, even now. Even though he has won so many times and defied expectations so many times, they continue to underestimate his appeal to the voters in America. Now, he doesn't have to be popular. They go out and say, you know, what's the president's approval rating? I mean, what's his popularity? Well, it's 40%, it's 35%. Who cares? They're not asking the right question. Do you like the president? No. Are you going to vote for him again? Yes. Would you vote for Donald Trump? Yes. Do you like him? No. See, they're getting their messages clouded. Just ask, would you vote for him again? Those are the numbers these pollsters need to be focusing on. I'll help them out. I'll go do their, I'll go hand out their questions for them. 14 after, you're listening to the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.